Keisha Blake can't afford to cover her rent and living expenses while paying for childcare for her one-year-old daughter, Sydney.
I'm a medical biller in a hospital. Usually I make probably $27,000 to $30,000 a year.
According to state guidelines, Blake, a single mom, qualifies for a voucher to pay for care. Any family of two making below $34,348 a year is entitled to such a subsidy, which is given out by the city's Administration for Children's Services, or ACS. But unfortunately, in New York City, qualifying for help with childcare doesn't necessarily mean getting it.
I got a letter in the mail saying that I was on the waiting list for a voucher. I have in front of me the letter that was sent to me by ACS, and it says my placement status. I'm on the voucher wait list, and I am number 39,231 on the overall list, and number 30,232 within your priority level, which is 5. So I guess they consider my priority level not that important.
ACS did arrange for Blake to pay a reduced fee in a home-based daycare program, but she was unable to find a slot in any of the local programs. So in September, Blake, a U.S. citizen whose parents live in Trinidad, did something that caused her immense pain.
I had to send her to Trinidad. Actually, I wasn't even able to see her off at the airport because I had to work, and so my sister took her to the airport. When I put her in the cab, I noticed that I know she's pretty young, so I don't think she would completely understand what's going on, but she looked at me like, aren't you coming? I think I saw that in her expression, like, you know, aren't you coming too?
For many poor New Yorkers, childcare is the key to staying employed, advancing in work, and inching up in the economy. The problem is, only the poorest of the poor get any help with childcare, and many of the rest just can't afford it.
If you're very low income, you probably can get some sort of subsidized care.
Ellen Galinsky is president of the Families and Work Institute in Manhattan, which does research on family policy.
The place that drops off of the cliff is just as you're moving out from being very low income into the middle class, which is at the point where we want to encourage people to move out of poverty, and yet the social systems aren't there. They have to almost choose to go back into poverty to take care of their children.
A.J. Chaudhry is responsible for child care at the city's Administration for Children's Services. Chaudhry acknowledges that the city doesn't and can't give subsidies to every low-income parent who qualifies for them.
The amount of child care funding that's available for low-income working families is nowhere close to what's needed for the demand. So we would estimate that there would probably be at least another 60 or 70,000 families who don't receive services who are potentially eligible.
Ironically, the youngest and most vulnerable are the last to get help.
Currently in our system, infants are the least likely to be served. So of the 130,000 families that we're serving, less than 3% of those are kids birth to one.
A few programs have ventured into the huge gap in government help with child care. 1199, a union that represents many low-income workers, has attempted one of the most creative solutions to the problem. Debbie King is the director of training and development for the union.
We hear from members about their concerns about childcare all the time and how they want to be home after work to help their children with their homework.
So in 1993, the union founded the Future of America Learning Center. Just off Fordham Road in the Bronx, the center is a safe and educational environment that low-income working parents can afford.
Oh, you like trains? So look, we have a train set. You can work with this right here.
My name is Atanahilda Lorenzo.
On Saturdays, when Lorenzo drops off her son Gabriel at the center, friends, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and lots of toys await him. For his mother, there is peace of mind.
It's better for me Saturday because I'm working all the week, and the Saturday I come to the English class. It's very nice. I find a play for my son because before I had a lot of problems.
Perhaps best of all for Lorenzo, a single mother who makes less than $8 an hour as a home attendant, daycare is free when she is in class. But the center's biggest draw is that it's educational.
My name is Maya.
Hi, Maya. What are you making?
We're doing chicken and fish. and we cut eggs. And we cut it out and put it in the glue.
While the 4-year-olds learn about food groups, the 3-year-olds down the hall are exploring the difference between loud and soft.
Let's count our fingers.
This is my trunk. I'm a tall tree. And I'm somewhere.
So do you notice now the difference when we sing very low and we sing loud?
Yeah.
If we sing low, can our mommies hear?
No.
But if we sing loud, can mommy hear us?
Yes.
This kind of attention doesn't just mean a toddler has a better day. According to Galinsky, new research on the brain shows that being in educational settings in the early years is critical preparation for everything that follows.
Children are all born engaged in learning, but then a very big disparity happens depending on children's experiences, whether they're exposed to people who love learning, whether they are talked to in ways that extend their learning. All of those sorts of things matter a whole lot. And so by the time they get to school, there's a gap between the children who have good experiences in their families or outside of their families and the kids who don't. And that gap gets wider and wider.
Parents like Pete and Jackie Bonanno know that the kind of care the 1199 Center provides can make all the difference in their son Justin's future. So they were willing to wait an entire year for a spot to open there.
We've seen other daycares, and you're lucky if you get a room, a storefront. And here it's more of a classroom setting. It's more of a school, not a daycare.
Back in Brooklyn, Keisha Blake is hoping for a similar stroke of luck. Around Christmas time, her parents brought Sydney back from Trinidad, and Keisha has decided to keep her daughter with her, though she still doesn't know how she'll pay for her care.
For 1 month, I probably get a total of about $1,720, minus rent, that's $920, and then minus the daycare provider, and I still have, you know, Con Ed bill, electricity bill, gas bill, clothes for my daughter, food, transportation. By the grace of God, I'll have to find a way to get through.
For WNYC, I'm Sharon Lerner.